From Whitehall, London, this is the Roosie Analysis Podcast.
Hello, I'm Jonathan Isle, and as part of the Institute's coverage of the EU referendum debate, I'm talking today to the Right Honourable Dr. Liam Fox, known to all our membership as a former Defence Secretary and as a leading debater in the House of Commons, in this particular case, also as a proponent of the idea that the UK should recover its sovereignty by leaving its membership of the European Union. Dr. Fox, thanks for talking to us. I wonder if I could start with the usual argument that is put forward by those who suggest that we should say yes to remaining in the European Union, which is that somehow it would diminish Britain's footprint, international footprint, that we could do much more in a club of nations, of European nations, than we will ever be able to deliver on our own, and that leaving the European Union would diminish that particular international presence. What would you say to that?
Well, first of all, let me say why I want to leave the European Union. I want to leave because I want to get control of our own lawmaking, I want to get control of our borders, and I want to get control of our money. Now, taking the argument that is made that we would be diminished, it suggests that the only viable future for the United Kingdom is out with the umbrella of the European Union. And I would begin by pointing out that were we to leave, Britain still has a seat on the Security Council. Britain has a membership of the G7, of the G20, of NATO. It has a seat on the IMF, and the World Bank is at the centre of the Commonwealth, is the world's fifth biggest defence budget, is the world's sixth biggest economy. It doesn't sound like outer darkness to me. This sounds like a country that's extremely well connected and has a great deal of say in the world around us. Now, what I would say in direct response to the proposal you put is that it's all very well being in a bigger organisation if we're actually able to shape its direction. Now, if you look at elements such as regulation in the City of London, which is very important to the British economy, we've lost control of that. We are constantly outvoted by a Eurozone majority grouping. On other issues, we are dependent upon getting agreement. And since 1996, when records began, on issues where the British government of the day, both Conservative and Labour, have felt that a legislative proposal was against Britain's interests, we've objected 72 times. On all 72, the legislation has been passed against what our governments believe to be our national interests. I don't believe we are affecting the direction of travel of Europe, which is the most dangerous thing of all. We're trapped on a runaway train, and we're unable to apply a brake. And when you look at the damage that's being caused by the euro, the structural problems inside the Eurozone itself, and then add on top of that Schengen and its failure, I think this is not a sensible place for us to be.
Now, you mentioned the position that the UK has at the moment on the world stage, regardless of membership in the European Union. Of course, it's correct. But there is the argument that were we to leave, the impression that this would give will create a sort of bandwagoning effect, which will question our position as a permanent member in the UN Security Council. As you remember, a lot of people who oppose you would say that effectively what you're suggesting is a little Englander, a little sort of romantic trip into the past, rather than looking into the future. So are you able, do you think it will not be interpreted by the so-called international community as a sort of regression in Britain's position?
No, I think it's quite the opposite. I think it's an acceptance that we live in a globalised era and that the concept of the bloc is a very 20th century concept, that the European Union is very dysfunctional in any case. When you look at economically the United Kingdom at 5.1% unemployment, you compare it to the European Union 8.9%, the Eurozone 10.3%, and if you exclude Germany from the rest of the Eurozone, somewhere around 16%. This is a very dysfunctional unit. The Schengen arrangements are producing systemic risk to security. And while people talk about, in terms of the power of a bloc, that it brings economy of scale. It also brings one huge disadvantage, and that is in terms of negotiating international agreements. You have to get agreement with 27. It's not actually agreement with one. While the European Union may negotiate on behalf of its members, if you get powerful groups like French farmers trying to block it, it becomes really difficult, which is why I think you've not really had much progress made on TTIP, because the United States is not simply dealing with a single entity, but 27 nations who all have their own interests and can block any of these agreements taking place.
Okay, let me take you on a slightly different sort of approach to the unintended consequences or the unforeseen consequences of a potential Brexit, which is the question of what the rest of Europe may do, were we to leave. And it's, I think, quite accepted, I hope you would accept that point, that probably the French and the Germans will try to accelerate a defence entity creation within the European Union. And that may well impinge on NATO, which I assume you remain a strong supporter of. So could you envisage a situation where unintended consequence may be mayhem in the security structure in Europe and not one that would be useful or advantageous to the UK?
I hear this argument, and build this European identity with what? Inside the NATO budget this year, the United States contributes 72.2% as a single nation. The EU nations, who are also members of NATO, contribute a paltry 24%. If you take Britain out, it's 17%. And if you take Britain and France out, it comes down to something like 13%, 14%. There's not much there. There is no ability for Europe to create a defence personality, either complementary or supplementary to NATO, or indeed separate to NATO, unless they're willing to put their hands in their pockets. And one of the failures at the present time is the flatness of the European economy is leaving no money to be spent and causing Europe to have an even greater free ride on the back of American taxpayers. I think that one of the good things about Britain leaving the European Union is that it would show these defence pretensions of the EU to be the fantasy that they actually are.
Okay, but I think you would agree that we will need to avoid as much as possible even a beauty competition between the European Union and NATO, because it would be a waste of time for everyone in
the
future.
It's why the EU should abandon its defence pretensions. The EU's defence pretensions are largely emanating from those who see NATO and NATO's key role in European security as an obstacle to the concept of ever closer union, because it denies them access to that defence space and that policy space. One of the reasons that I've always been so keen on NATO is exactly for that reason, to deny them that, because our security does not come from continental Europe. Our security is ultimately guaranteed by the United States and the fact that its defence budget is bigger than the next 11 combined in the world. And the idea that Europe, the European Union, five of whose members incidentally are neutral, could ever provide us with any security guarantee of any sort is laughable. One of the consequences that I would like to see is I would like to see that a British exit from the European Union forces NATO to once again have a political agenda. And I think that the political element of NATO, which was always so key to its concept, has atrophied in the face of the European Union trying more and more to wrestle that political agenda away from NATO.
But you know what I'm going to say next, that the US president has recently been in the United Kingdom and has explicitly said that as far as he's concerned, the United Kingdom would be, quote, at the end of the queue, unquote, in any subsequent discussions with the Americans. So how does that put into perspective the question of the American security guarantee to the UK, which I agree will endure at least in treaty terms within the NATO context?
Well, first of all, he's the soon-to-be ex-American president. Secondly, the fact that he would put an international organisation ahead of the sovereignty of any one particular state is very, very typical of his approach in his entire presidency. If you look at Ted Cruz, for example, Senator Cruz wrote in the Times this morning, it was exactly the opposite. Frankly, I don't really give too much credence to what Barack Obama says. He'll just be joining the ranks of ex-presidents quite soon. And in any case, he himself was forced to make clear in an